makes that unexpected run to the Western Conference Finals last year before bowing out to the Lakers.
And it'll be a different game tomorrow.
Here's Michael Porter Jr. going right into the chest of McCollum.
And it'll be a different game tomorrow.
Some of that magic again. Porter keeps on coming. Blazers stone cold here at the start of the quarter.
Questionable shot selection here by Portland as Denver continues to stay white hot from beyond.
And it'll be a different game tomorrow.
As Jokic from the line and hits. Seven to shoot. Jokic gets a three. Porter the turnaround point. He's got everything working tonight.
And it'll be a different game tomorrow.
Jokic is dictating offensively.
Is going to take the lead in the series before it heads back to the Pacific Northwest for Game 6. Michael Porter into the paint. Rivers from the corner. Just past the midway point. Fourth quarter, Game 5. Porter, tough shot. Puts it down. Kennedy hit that shot. Jokic squares up and snaps it through.
And it'll be a different game tomorrow.
No, Colfax-a-million. That was awesome, and it damn sure was, wasn't it? It was a different game tomorrow, and MPJ had a nice night. Nikola Jokic was absolutely splendid. How about Monte Morris getting 28 points, career high, as a backup point guard? Actually, a backup to the backup point guard, if you want to get technical with it. Nuggets win 147-140. They win this thing in not one, but two overtimes to take the series lead. Now up 3-2. They got a game tomorrow night in Portland. Oh, there's so much to unpack here. Michael Porter Jr. was perfect. I mean, 10 for 13. I mean, that's not, you know, I need more shots still. Better than three. Joker was in superstar fashion. 38 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. He was good. Nurk gets fouled out, and oh, by the way, is Damian Lillard, like, I had nightmares last night. I had nightmares about Lillard. 55 points. Look at the percent. Look at this shot percentage from 3. 12 of 17. I mean, that's not, sorry, but there's a lot of games where we've seen Steph Curry shoot the ball 30 times, shoot a three 20 times, and he makes five of them, six of them. And it's like, oh, he made a lot of threes. He shot a lot of threes. Damian Lillard could not be stopped. So Denver just kept firing back. It would have been one, I mean, they were working hard for their shots, for their points. And so it would have been easy for Denver to collapse and just go, wow, well, there's no beating this team. Dame's just going to keep shooting from half court and with double coverage, with hands in his face. Hands in his eyeballs. I mean, at one point, camera was beautiful. Nuggets get a rebound after a miss, a rare miss by Damian Lillard. And Austin Rivers, like, the camera zooms in, and you just see him put his hands together in the prayer motion, and he's like, thank God. I mean, that's all you can do against this guy. It's all you can do is just, it's just pray that he's going to miss. That's, oh, boy. So I'm watching the game last night, Colfax. My wife comes down in the fourth period. I had to record it, so I was behind everybody watching it because Gavin Boy decided of all the nights that he was like absolutely wanting to be adorable, play with his dad, and you know, just be cool. Because a lot of times, you know, he's like all about mom. Last night he was all about dad, and I'm like, well, you're not going to bed anytime soon. We're going to play, and so yeah, I recorded the game, put him to bed late. And I was watching. I get to the fourth. My wife comes downstairs, and I'm in nervous mode the last 5 minutes. She starts filming me. I didn't even know this. I caught on later because I'm looking at the phone. I'm like, what are you doing anyway? Shared that on Twitter. Did a little somersault roll out of the couch. And I was like, I was stressed, man. That was a stressful night of basketball. So much fun, but it sure felt like it was going to be a Damian Lillard buzzer shot, and Denver found a way. So where do we start here? How about the pass that really set up the win here was when Joker is double covered, skip pass across the court, almost has his back to Porter, finds him in the corner, barely. Ball gets over the defender's fingertips and into Porter's hands. Three-pointer. Bam. Michael Porter Sr., his dad, tweeted, obviously loved the late corner three by Michael Jr., but did you see the pass? Joker waited until Aaron Gordon cut, which drew Robert Covington a step or two toward the lane, and then he floated the perfect pass over. And Nikola Jokic has such a beautiful, beautiful basketball mind. Covington missed it by an inch. If he tips that, it's a turnover. Who knows what happens? You're right, though. It's not as simple as Joker just seeing in the corner of his eye Porter open. He waits until Gordon moves. Colfax, he's playing chess with his teammates. He's moving them around. There was one time he's at the top of the key, and he goes like this. He has the basketball in his hand. He sees Austin Rivers. He does a cut motion like, hey, go. And as soon as Rivers cuts, it's a step. The defender takes a step back. And it was enough for Joker to find Porter again on the three-point line. So he is conducting everything out there. It's truly phenomenal. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Where else we want to go here? How about the foul that wasn't a foul? Austin Rivers, was that first overtime? It was first overtime, I believe. And Damian shoots a three, misses it. They call a shooting foul on Rivers. Rivers has zero contact when Lillard is in the act of shooting. They catch him. So they go back and review it. They say, okay, it's not a shooting foul. It's a common foul. It's a regular foul. He clipped him on the elbow. I mean, okay, if you just want to do contact, he did touch him, but he didn't foul him. If you go up for a shot and it bodies against you, not all the time is that a foul. Fingertip grazed Damian Lillard's elbow before he turned in to actually shoot, well before, and they called it. So anyway, Portland gets the ball back, and that's ultimately what sends this thing to another overtime. So that's ridiculous. I mean, it's awful. That was terrible. That is superstar treatment. But I got to ask you, Colfax, wouldn't Damian Lillard look fantastic in a Denver Nuggets uniform?
100%. Yes.
I mean, would they ever lose? Wow. Those two, what I love about Dame, and he bitches and moans at the refs too. He hates Facu Campazzo. He's got an attitude. He's got an edge. But what I like about Dame is that he doesn't give one iota about the superstar treatment. He doesn't care about that. He's similar to Joker in many ways in that regard. Basically, the fact is they don't care about jumping ship and going to, you know, joining super teams, at least for now. Dame might get tired of scoring 55 and 60 points and nobody's doing anything while this big fella's fouled out for the third time in a series. But, all right, so let me take it deeper. You're building the team. You're general manager Colfax. I'm going to give you either Damian Lillard or Nikola Jokic for free. That's it. That's what you get. Which one are you taking?
Jokic.
Yeah, I'm taking Joker too.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, maybe it's a little bit of being a homer. Maybe it's because I like his personality a lot. But it's hard. I mean, look at it. 66% of the hooligans are saying Damian Lillard. I mean, it's hard to disagree. Lillard might be, after watching games like that, he gets no respect either. Nobody pays attention to Portland. Nobody cares about what Portland's doing. So Lillard's right up there in those discussions as one of the best players. I mean, when we say Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are like two of the best guards, it's because, first off, Damian Lillard is in the top five of players currently playing right now. I believe so. McCollum's good, but then you pair him with Lillard. You look at Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, when they're both healthy, they're two of the better players in the league, too. That's not the case with CJ and Dame. Dame is the guy. But I don't disagree necessarily. It's just I would pick Nikola Jokic. And I didn't even want to put this as a poll question because I feel like it would be inappropriate right now because you just came off a huge win. Michael Porter Jr. was certainly a big reason that you won that game. Would you trade Jamal Murray straight up for Damian Lillard? Yeah, I think, right?
I think so.
Would you trade MPJ and Jamal Murray for Damian Lillard?
Both of them?
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. That's a harder discussion. But the fact that he even asked the question.
Right. It's crazy, right?
It's crazy.
I'm going to say, people are going to be mad at this. I'm going to say no. And that is because I think the ceiling is so ridiculously high for MPJ. But I also don't know how Damian Lillard would work with a Joker. The enemy, you know, right? I mean, and so if you see, or the devil, you know, if you see Damian Lillard with you know, you see him with Portland and he's the one-man show. He is great. He's amazing. He takes control. Would he work well with Joker? I don't know. Probably, but you don't know that. Porter is really getting a handle for this. And I tell you, what a huge step for his career. Mark this down, Hooligans. Mark Saturday, was it game four, transition to game five. Mark that down in Michael Porter Jr.'s history, because that is a moment where he goes, wow, I shoot three times, I'm shut out, I am basically taken out of the game. It's 4-on-5 at this point. He says it'll be a different game tomorrow, and it actually was. He was cutting, he was moving, he was getting tough with the basketball. That's got to be a light bulb moment for him. Wow, I can do all this. I can do this stuff. I don't have to just post up. And he can do that too. They forgot about him twice. Joker set those up. McClain, the NBA needs to fix foul calls. They couldn't have been more inconsistent. Yeah. On the Austin Rivers foul, the ref says the call stands as a foul before the shot. Weren't the Nuggets under the impression that it was a shooting foul for three free throws? Otherwise, we wouldn't have even used our challenge on that call, maybe. I'm confused. Yeah, I thought the Nuggets were under the impression that it was a three. I was under the impression that they called it a shooting foul, that he was going into the act of shooting. You know, the when he was actually motioning up with his arm. I didn't see it, but I thought that's what they called. But then when you slow it down, they go review it. It's clearly not a shooting foul. It's clearly not even a going into the motion of shooting. He was dribbling, and then his left elbow was tapped, grazed by Austin Rivers. So, I mean, that was frustrating. There were some bad calls. There were some bad things about that game. But my goodness, there were some amazing things. Was that not the best game in all of these playoffs so far? Had to be. Absolutely had to be. And I tell you, man, survive. Survive this thing. You might win a title. You might win a damn title, Colfax. You got the Avs rocking and rolling. They're probably going to go up 2-0. And if the Nuggets can take care of it tomorrow, then you're moving on to the second round. And it's going to be, what, Phoenix or L.A.? I think this matchup against the Portland Trailblazers is the most complicated matchup for Denver. Mainly because you have a three-point nightmare in Damian Lillard. He could also take it to the hoop. I mean, he is a complete guard. He is fun to watch. But he's similar to... He was getting the credit last night, though. Dame was getting the credit last night. Because it was against the Nuggets. Nobody cares about. Nobody cares about Nikola Jokic. Post-game on NBA TV. Well, we saw how powerful Dame was. Joker needed some help. That's what the rhetoric was on NBA TV post-game. Was, well, Lillard can score in 55 and carry a team. Joker still needs some help. He's a passer. I mean, is that not one of the skill sets that makes a complete basketball player, being an amazing passer? Damian doesn't have that skill. He can pass, he's fine, sure, but he doesn't have the skill like Joker. What do you mean he needs some help? That's part of Joker's game. You don't get assists. Colfax, correct me if I'm wrong. They do not register an assist unless the person you pass to makes the basket, right? So, yeah, I mean, you need some help. That's part of Joker's game. I'm going to beat you one-on-one. You start doubling me, I'm finding somebody. I don't care where it is on the floor, I'm finding somebody. That's a unique... So, sure, if that's how you want to phrase it, he needed some help. If that's how you want to phrase it, fine, but that's part of his game. I mean, if you want to say it's help, all right, he's finding open basketball players. These are NBA basketball players. When they are open, there's a darn good chance they're going to make threes. But the tough part is finding those guys that are open. Well, leave it to Nikola Jokic. I tell you, man, these guys find anything and everything to take away from what the Joker does. 38 points. 38 points. Almost a triple-double in one of the most important games we've seen in Denver Nuggets history. One of them. mean, I'm not. The Western Conference Finals last year were extremely important, but this was one of the most important games. You lose last night in the double overtime, this thing's done. Portland has all the energy and everything they need to put this out. I believe it probably. I felt like last night's game was the hinge moment, was the swing. Whoever wins that game goes on to win this series. Could be wrong. Texter, Lillard is carrying his team, but so is Joker. Did they forget our second best player is out? We probably would have this series taken care of already with the Blue Arrow. Yeah, and I actually agree. I think if Jamal Murray plays in that game last night, this game is done. Dunzo. And you know me, I have my reservations about Jamal's consistency, but his 12 to 35 points, depending, still would have been enough. Monte Morris was exceptional. I mean, this was an amazing game. That's why I do love the NBA. The foul calls are ridiculous, though. They have to get it fixed. Have to get it addressed. Somehow, some way, they have to get it addressed. So, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who would you rather have on your team? Damian Lillard or Nikola Jokic? 57% now saying Damian Lillard. I'm still going Joker. I'm still going Joker. But, I mean, it's Dame's up there. He's ridiculous, dude. 21 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we were going to catch up with Justin Adams, but he's filming now. So Justin Adams of CBS Denver, great friend, love this guy. But we may have to reschedule with him because they're busy with the old TV thing, Colfax. So we'll see if we can reschedule with him. Do want to shout out to Fresh Coat Painter South Platte. You can get a free mini cooler just by calling the folks over at Fresh Coat. They just dropped off the framed Floyd Little jersey that we're going to be giving away in the next Top Text Tuesday contest. It is awesome. I'll post pictures and everything, but that is going to be a great piece to the man cave. It's what we do here, man. We help decorate your man caves, your offices, whatever. With this bad boy, it's going to be huge. 22 minutes after the hour. Take a short break. Answer the poll question of the day at thewholeshow.com. Who would you rather have on your team if you're building it today? Damian Lillard or Nikola Jokic? We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Our First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Power to Play Sports poll question. Again, go to thewholeshow.com to vote. Who would you rather have? I mean, I know we're in Colorado, so asking that question could be difficult. But however, I mean, hooligans are voting on Damian Lillard. I'm a little shocked by that. Who would you rather have, Damian Lillard or Nikola Jokic? Building a team, you get one of those guys. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind those are two of the best players in the league right now. And, man, they put on a show. Dame's is you know, his offense, his actual scoring is sexier than Joker's. But, again, Joker does everything. And the passing, the finding of Michael Porter Jr. in that corner, that play right there, will go down in one of those really big moments. I mean, I know there's a lot of playoff games in the history of these great players, but that's going to go down as one of those really huge moments in Nuggets history. Let's read a couple of texts. Who do you hope the Nuggets play next round? Do you care? I always like the whole, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. Because you know what the freaking story narrative is going to be if the Lakers lose to the Suns. It's going to be, well, Anthony Davis and LeBron, they could just never get right. And this was the year for somebody else to win, take advantage of it. So, I mean, there's that part of me that kind of wants the Lakers to win their next two games, be full healthy, you know, Anthony Davis versus LeBron, or Anthony Davis and LeBron. But I don't really care because, you know, I do a radio show too, and we can create our own narrative. The narrative is going to be, I think the Nuggets had just as good a shot to win this whole thing despite the Lakers situation. Because, again, Jamal Murray's out. So, and I know national media forgot Jamal Murray's name. They don't even talk about the fact that the Nuggets have lost their second star. We don't even go there. But we all know. We all know. And hardware is hardware. And if you win the title, you win the trophy, doesn't matter. We'll know. Another text, Damian Lillard is like Nikola Jokic in that he's willing to stay with one team, even if that team's not a big market team. That's why both of these guys should be praised, because they're loyal to the teams that drafted them instead of going to New York to suck. Cough, Melo. And listen, I agree. I don't. You're never going to see me necessarily complain all the time. Depends on how they leave. If a guy leaves. Now, if you just keep jumping ship to star-studded cast, then yeah, I'm going to start. I don't like it. I didn't like what LeBron James did. More importantly, I didn't like how he did it. But you also have major respect for guys that stick it out. Todd Helton probably should have left and went to a different team so he could have competed on a regular basis and been in the playoffs on a regular basis. But we respect him as Rockies fans because he was loyal. Loyalty is a big deal. And, you know, he sacrificed probably getting into the playoffs a lot because he loved Colorado. He loved the Rockies. So, yeah, I agree with you there. Dixon texting in. Why can't I get it? There it is. We'll take a break here in just a second. Brady, I have to admit, I was cussing Malone a little in the fourth quarter. He sat Joker way too long, almost half the quarter. It's the playoffs. Joker's minutes need to increase. This is part of why he got in better shape. Yeah, what was it, about 7:45 left, and he still wasn't in. I was like, in the fourth. Yeah, why, Joker, you got to get him in. You got to get him in. You try to win that thing now. Don't mess around with these overtimes. And you're right, he is in better shape. So I was a little shocked by that too. Malone had some of the, listen, I talked about it last week. Malone's not perfect. He has obvious mistakes. And I think last night that was an obvious mistake, timing it out. This team functions with Nikola Jokic, and you are in win mode. Last night was a must win, essentially. Found a way to do it, but that was a silly move, man. I mean, you got to have Joker in late. You got your star-studded cast in there. You got Damian Lillard going off, getting ready to go off. And a lot of people are doing this today, too. Why doesn't Lillard just do that all game? Well, it's hard. You can't. Lillard's amazing, right? But even the best shooters in the league don't do that all game. It's just impossible. You don't see it. Basketball's a game of grooves, man. It's a game of momentum. And sometimes guys just feel it, just have it, and it's unstoppable. And Lillard was in that. But the beautiful part of it is you had a player that was reaching, you know, what was it in the NBA 2K game? When you shoot the perfect shot, the little bar above your player turns green. That means you're guaranteed to make it. Lillard was hitting green. Every time he shot it, it was the perfect release, and he let it go. We knew it was going in. And the Nuggets survived that. That's a pretty big deal, folks. I got a lot to get to with some Nuggets talk. Speaking of Nuggets and former Denver Nuggets, is there a former Denver Nugget that will soon be the next NBA head coach? We'll talk about that with, yeah, you're probably going to guess it by this next guest, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. So we'll talk to Mark coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It's getting to be a wild time, man, watching all these playoff games. Avs back at it tonight, so we'll see. That game's got a lot of intrigue, or that series has got a lot of intrigue to it as well. News kind of poured out nationally. Boston Celtics president Danny Ainge retires. Coach Brad Stevens takes over as the president. So now they're looking out for the next head coach. And, former Colorado Buffalo Chauncey Billups' name coming up as one of the top, perhaps, contenders to take that job. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. And, Mark, I know you weren't calling games when Chauncey was there, but you certainly know Buff's history more so than perhaps anybody. How do you think he'd fare as a head coach in the NBA?
Well, I think he'd fare very well. He's, he's a sharp guy, obviously. He knows the game of basketball. And, you know, one thing that's kind of interesting, Brady, about what's happened in particular in the NBA is we have seen a shift where coaches came from the coaching ladder. You started out as a student manager in many cases or a director of basketball operations. You did a lot of scouting. Then you got yourself into assistant coaching, and you moved on up. That's kind of changed in recent years where guys are getting jobs that, you know, don't necessarily have a long resume of coaching in the NBA. And so you're seeing that more and more frequently. And so, listen, I think Chauncey obviously knows the game very well, has got phenomenal instincts in the game of basketball. That's why he was such a fantastic player. And so I think he'd fare very well in that regard. He's got some connection with some of the players on that Celtics roster. And so I think that might be a pretty good fit for Chauncey Billups. He's been rumored now the last, year and a half as being a guy that was being looked at and prepared to be a head coach. And so I think it'll probably happen here pretty soon.
And what do you think about, like, I always think, Mark, great passers, you know, excellent point guards, floor generals, however you want to call it. I always think those guys, and again, that's based on zero knowledge of what they might do as a coach, but just if you're on the outside looking in, I always think those kind of players, floor generals, would be kind of an easy transition into the head coach mode.
Well, yeah, I think they understand the game. You know, it's like in baseball, for example. Have you ever noticed that catchers many times make very good managers? Because in the game of baseball, they're the guys that are working with the pitchers. They're watching the defense. They're the ones that are really thinking the game of baseball more so than the guy who's out in center field or playing at third base, whatever it might be. In basketball, the point guard's the guy that does that. And so it makes sense. Quarterbacks can be very good offensive coaches generally. I think we've seen that in football. But, yeah, certainly I think the guys that handle the ball a lot and have to think the game and have to orchestrate the game plan, I think those guys make very good coaches. Now, with that being said, I've talked to many guys over the years who've been coaches in the NBA, and what you need to be in the NBA is a very good You need to be able to handle personalities very well. I always said about Phil Jackson, I'm not sure what his basketball knowledge is. I'm sure it's fantastic. I do know this. He's able to handle personalities as great as anybody that's ever coached in any sport at any time. And so that'll be something that, you know, we'll find out about Chauncey. I mean, he's a generally nice guy. He, you know, seems to get along with people. He's relatable, all these kind of things that you need to be. Now we'll see what that, you know, turns out like if he's coaching an NBA franchise.
I mean, he's already one of those really, really popular names, big-time players. So certainly that helps anything and in everything related to CU. But, man, if you get a guy that goes on and is a successful head coach in the NBA, that's just another, I don't know, Mark, another kind of beacon that points back to Colorado.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, I like, you know, with McKinley Wright wrapping his career up here recently, there's been talk about, is he the greatest Buffalo of all time? Well, listen, Chauncey Billups holds that title right now, even though he only played a couple of years. He holds that title, and I'm not willing to give that up to anybody. And that doesn't disrespect in any way, shape, or form of McKinley Wright or whoever else is out there. But he's been a guy that for, well, since he left in the mid to late 90s, left Colorado, went to the NBA, that has been a marquee name for the University of Colorado from a basketball standpoint. And this would just be one more step and one more, you know, notch, if you will, in terms of him continuing, you know, playing that role. Now, there are other guys in the NBA right now. You think about what Spencer Dinwiddie has done and the way he's become a very good player, and Derek White and those guys. But, listen, there's one guy that they continually be pointed up. Pointed at as the University of Colorado's kind of beacon, if you will, to borrow your word, in basketball, and that's Chauncey Billups.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, his first stint in Denver was interesting, but then he goes on and does great things with Detroit, getting a title, coming back to Denver. I mean, that was the lone year that George Karl's Denver Nuggets get past the first round. And I always talk about this, Mark. Chauncey was a stabilizing force. Melo was still the scorer. You know, he's the sexy scorer that's going to do all these crazy things that are going to be in the headlines, but it was Chauncey Billups that stabilized that group. And I believe if he's not there or if he's not playing at the level he was playing at that point, the Nuggets, who knows, maybe they don't even get past the first round.
No, I agree. And you need that guy. I mean, and if you know Chauncey's story, when, you know, he got to the NBA, was struggling a bit, and then went to the Minnesota Timberwolves and had Was it Sam Mitchell? Who was the player that was kind of his mentor at that point, kind of taught him how to be a pro, and that helped his evolution, if you will, as a basketball player in the NBA. And like you said, he went on to great things. So, yeah, he was always that guy, you know, Mr. Big Shot. Obviously hit some enormous shots. He was a stabilizing force. He was a pro's pro, a guy that handled himself in a certain way. All the attributes you look for, by the way, in a coach. And so it's not surprisingly that a number of years later now he's being looked at as a guy that, you know, has paid some dues and has an opportunity now to be a head coach.
Yeah, no question about it. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining me. And a lot of times we're talking CU information, we're talking that, but I like to pick Mark's brain on any and everything sports related. Mark, you being in the media and interviewing so many players and coaches, I haven't talked about this, I haven't touched this one yet, but kind of wanted to get your take on this. Naomi Osaka, the tennis player, of course, basically citing mental health situation, not wanting to talk to the media, really bothering her. Well, she was fined Sunday for not fulfilling her contractual obligations and then ultimately pulled back from all of it. I haven't even touched on this one yet, Mark, but you talk to a lot of guys, and specifically young men and women that are, you know, in college. I mean, we're all going through mental hurdles at that point. I wanted to kind of get your take on that, because there is a fine line between obligation and when maybe an organization can come down and understand where an athlete's coming from.
Well, I think, well, first off, when it comes to the young woman, the tennis player, I don't know any specifics about her circumstance.
Yeah.
I can't speak to that. But kind of the broader perspective on this, I get a little bit uncomfortable when we're getting to this point. Let me back up and say this. What we're seeing in athletics is top-level athletes kind of having the mindset that they're entertainers. They're not athletes, that they entertain, and so hence they should be treated as entertainers. And what I mean by that is I saw a commentary a few days ago where somebody was writing about this, thought it was fantastic, and basically saying, why should athletes have to talk before and after their sporting events? You don't see actors and musicians doing the same thing, okay? Well, there's no winning and losing in what we're talking about with actors and in terms of having a competition, right? You can say they win and lose if they're, you know, at the box office or whatever it might be, but that's not the same thing. And I'm a little uncomfortable with where we're getting with this idea of celebrity, okay? Athletes do perform, yes, that we understand. They also compete. Now, with every one of our jobs, there are responsibilities that come along with that. One of the responsibilities that athletes have is the media interaction, because it promotes the game and ultimately is, in large part, if you look back over the course of time, in large part is the result of that is the fact they're making very handsome salaries, correct? And so I get a little uneasy with this concept that, well, I shouldn't have to talk all the time. I should be able to do whatever I want, go on the playing surface, play the game, and then not have to be bothered by, you know, these media slobs that want to come up and ask me all sorts of questions. Sometimes they're tough questions. Well, that takes a little bit away from you know, if you're going to be competitive, be competitive. If you fail, if you don't have a great game, if you miss the shot, if you strike out, whatever it might be, you know, have the intestinal fortitude to step up then and actually respond to that. And that will build character within you and then, you know, ultimately make you a greater player. Michael Jordan never shied away from talking after he missed a shot. Kobe Bryant didn't do that. You know, great players that struck out in Major League Baseball didn't do that. So that's why I'm a little bit uncomfortable with where this is all going. But, you know, I'm just an old guy. So what do I know?
You know, I'm with you, man. And we talk a lot about mental health, and it does. I mean, it needs more. We need to address it more. We need to discuss it more. No question about it. But there comes a time where, okay, if this is part of your job description, and it really is.
Right.
I mean, when you become
right.
a player, they, you know, this is in your contract. And if you sign that contract, then it is a difficult thing for me to accept, because if you sign it, you're saying, all right, I'm good talking to the media. Kyrie Irving's done it, right? He doesn't go talk to the media a lot. So I'm with you. I think there's an interesting line that once we cross it, it's going to be, there will be no control and there will be no media interviews, and therefore your sport's not growing.
No, exactly right. Because what's going to happen then is the message doesn't get out. Now the argument has been made that, these athletes have social media, and so they have direct contact with their, you know, fans out there and fans of a said sport. Well, let's be honest about it. That's not an objective narrative that's coming out there. That's a very subjective and controlled message. Mm-hmm. You could say it's propaganda, right? I'm only going to tell you what I want you
exactly.
to know. And so then you never get into uncomfortable topics. You never get to anywhere, you know that old line about, there's your truth and my truth, and then there's the truth, right? Well, at some point in time, there has to be somebody out there telling the stories of these athletes where it's not being varnished and polished up and photoshopped. And that's what I get a little bit uncomfortable with here. And so I'm never going to have to talk about any failure that I ever had. I'm never going to have to talk about anything that's uncomfortable. I'm never going to have to talk about if I make some misstep off the playing surface. I'm never going to have to address that. I'm only going to tell you how great things are. It's what we say about social media. Social media is a highlight reel. That's all it is, right? We see what I'm going to allow you to see. We're going to see only the best photos of me from the right angle with the right Photoshop. And I'm not sure that's necessary. Well, in fact, I'm positive that's not necessarily healthy because what we're seeing in society right now. And so it's an interesting topic. It's an uncomfortable topic. And I'm a little afraid of where it's all going because ultimately, with all the money involved, those athletes are going to pull the reins in and have total control and not have to answer to anybody. And that becomes a little bit problematic because you know what they say about absolute power.
Yeah, Mark, I agree with you 100%, as I find myself often doing, my friend. Appreciate you taking us there, because I thought that was one I wanted to talk to. I like to talk to other folks in the media, too, and get their response.
Sure.
But Mark, always look forward to these conversations. Hey, who would you take if you're building a team, an NBA team, Damian Lillard or Nikola Jokic? Who are you taking?
Oh, I'm taking Jokic.
Yeah, me too.
Without question. And I'm not saying that just because I'm living here in Denver. And Dame is a very, very good player. He's a dynamic player. But I just love the overall game. It reminds me of a Magic Johnson or a Larry Bird type of talent that Jokic has got, which is why I love him and think he is so much fun to watch. I don't watch a lot of NBA basketball, but I enjoy watching the Nuggets and Jokic.
Yeah, he's one of those rare gems. Great personality, seems to be a great guy, and more importantly, fun to watch on the floor.
Yep.
Mark, appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right. Thanks, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffaloes. It's June 2nd, right? We're not going to get too knee-deep into football and basketball just yet. But I do appreciate him kind of going there with us on the Chauncey thing. This story, yeah. And I want to be very – because Colfax, I'm near and dear to my heart and brain, of course, is the mental health side of things. As a lot of people that know me know my situation with my wonderful brother, passed away 4 years ago, struggled with some severe mental health, some anxiety and things like that. So I take it extremely seriously. But when I look at the situation with Osaka, I don't know anything about tennis. I don't know anything personally about her as a player, but she did not like talking to the media. It bothered her. It, you know, mentally bothered her. There's got to be a discussion, I suppose, at some point, though, when you say, what is the job? What is the job? Because if you're playing tennis, and nobody's watching it. And again, tennis is a worldwide, very, 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 very famous sport. So attendance is not an issue. But I've always talked about this. We can talk about the media all we want. The media, good or bad, builds things up, creates ratings. Sports media, good or bad, made these games larger than life. The players are sensational. They really are. But it's the coverage of these players. It's the sound bites that we get that we're not expecting that grow. And it has done that since the beginning of time in these sports. So for one player to say, yeah, it's not good for my mental health to talk to the media. Well, then anybody can say it, right? I have a headache today. I don't want to talk to the media. I just came off an injury. I don't want to talk to the media. And I'm not belittling mental health by saying injuries and headaches and stuff is close to it. But we have to be careful with this because that does become part of your job. Maybe you don't have a mental health situation, but you have a lot of stress in your life. You lost a family member. You lost a friend. You broke up. You got a divorce. When do we just get to automatically throw out these excuses? And I say again, I don't think it's an excuse. I think she probably does struggle. But when do we draw the line and say, oh, well, she's excused from talking to the media, but Kyrie Irving's not. Why? Because he doesn't have a mental health issue. No, but maybe he hates the media and the idea of it just infuriates him to the point where he knows he's going to say something stupid. Well, that's not the same thing. Well, why are we the ones suddenly that can only choose? Okay, well, she has mental health issues. She's not going to have to talk to the media. Everybody else does. I think you got to be careful with that. And we can talk more about that. We got to get more into the Nuggets Blazers. I mean, because this series epic is flat out epic. Broncos OTAs, quarterback. What did Draymond Jones have to say? Hopefully a standout defensive player for the Broncos about the quarterback competition. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
A little bit of breaking news on this Wednesday? Well, Colorado State news here. From Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. David Bailey, the leading rusher on Boston College's football team last fall, has transferred to Colorado State, where he will rejoin Steve Addazio. Dude, what's the limit? What's the number now that Addazio has brought over from Boston College? Good thing, bad thing? Meh, no, don't really know. Let's face it, Boston College, bigger conference, power conference, right? But 500 program. So will those players that were putting together like a 500 record program at Boston College translate to above 500? In the Mountain West Conference? Maybe. Yeah, I think so. David Bailey, Boston College leading rusher last fall, transferring to CSU. I'm so excited for football. You have no idea. Like a real football season? It's going to be a blast. 57 minutes after the hour, second hour of the whole show coming up next.